and welcome to Soul Talk with Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel. The holiday of Passover, Pesach, is upon us. We are now in this time period that takes definitely a lot of preparation. And it's a very interesting holiday. I was thinking about it because on the one hand, it's something that we remember that happened many years ago. It's very significant in how the happenings of so long ago affected the entire world and the Jewish nation in terms of from slavery to freedom. And these are concepts and themes that I think are very relevant, important today and throughout history, not just when it happened so long ago. But I was thinking about the fact, Rabbi Aaron, that Passover and the themes of Pesach, of being redeemed from slavery, on the one hand, we focus on it on the anniversary of that redemption, which is coming up now, the holiday of Passover. But it struck me as very interesting that it's not only this time of year, yes, much more intensely, that we have Passover, Pesach, we're really very intently focusing on all these themes that are connected to the Passover story. But we remember Passover and the redemption from Egypt every single day in our prayers. So even though there's this holiday right now, it seems as though the significance of it also continues on throughout the year. And it made me really want to try to understand, what is it about this holiday that is so significant that right now there's this intense experience in terms of the celebration of the holiday, but the meaning of it continues throughout the year as well?
Yes. In fact, the Zohar, which is the core teachings of the Kabbalah, says that the going out of Egypt, the liberation from Egypt, is the root and the foundation of all faith. And it's very interesting that the first words that the Jewish people heard at the revelation at Sinai is, Enochi Hashem Elokecha asher tziticha me'eretz Yisrael. I'm God, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Why would that be the introductory remarks of God to the Jewish people? It's not as if they forgot who God is. They just got out a few weeks ago, so that wouldn't make sense. And wouldn't it make more sense that the introduction to the law would be, I am the creator of the world. You know, as the creator of the world, I have authority. I make the rules, and you should abide by those rules, and I determine the consequences for those who do not and for those who do. It would make more sense to say, I'm the God who created the world rather than I'm the God that took you out of Egypt. Well, one of the deep understandings of believing that God took us out of Egypt is understanding that the Jewish people had fallen to such a low level spiritually that our sages tell us that they really didn't deserve to get out. If everything was being viewed through the lens of justice, then there wasn't a case to take them out. And so then why did God take them out? Because we are children of God. And this was a show of unconditional love. And the idea of Passover is that God is passing over the justice in the name of unconditional love to take us out of Egypt. So that would mean that the going out of Egypt is a stellar manifestation of God's unconditional love for us and the covenant that we share with God, which is a relationship of unconditional love.
No, it's so powerful what you're sharing, because there's very important themes I would have thought of connected to this holiday. And that's not specifically one of the themes I would have thought about. And yet, as you're sharing it, I really do understand what you're saying. But it gives a whole new perspective when celebrating the holiday, understanding this aspect of what the holiday is all about.
Well, you know what? The question is, if you believe in God, what kind of God do you believe in? And that has a huge impact on the quality of your life. You know, Albert Einstein was asked, after all the research that you've done and all the questions that you've responded and answered, is there still a question that you're struggling with that you have not yet answered? And he said, yes, I want to know if the universe is friendly. Now, you know, Albert Einstein is often quoted saying that, I don't believe that God plays dice with the universe. And that was the foundation of why he so would seek a unified theory that would account for all details, because God doesn't play dice with the universe. And so very often people use that as a support that, you see, Albert Einstein believed in God. But it's not necessarily true that he believed that God cared about us. In other words, you could believe that God is the creator, But do you believe that God is interested in your life, cares about you, and will never abandon you, even if from the standpoint of justice, you would deserve to be abandoned? God would never do that to you. That's the narrative of Judaism, that we not only believe that God is a creator, but that God is a lover of mankind and wants to enable us to reach our highest godly potential.
Which is really what redemption is all about. We just had a show on that for anyone who hasn't heard it yet. Please listen to it about what redemption is. And now you're really explaining my question that I asked you at the beginning of that this is a holiday that is taking place now because this is the time period in which the redemption happened. And yet we're constantly referring, possibly daily, if one's saying prayers, this is the God who took us out of Egypt, the God that took us out of Egypt. And we're always referring to that. But now I'm really understanding why that's so significant, because every time I'm saying this is the God that took us out of Egypt, it's not just referring to an event that happened so long ago. It's really referring to the relationship that I have with God, or God wants to have with me, is that God's involved in my life. And that's as opposed to the God who created the world, as you're explaining.
Exactly. You know, if God created me but doesn't care about me, then I don't care about him either, because we have no relationship and there's nothing here between us. I'm just a creation. But if I am, you know, so to speak, a child of God, as it's described prophetically in prophetic language, then that's the foundation of Judaism, that there is a relationship, a personal relationship. You know, that's the idea of Brit. Brit is a covenant, not a contract. A contract is there are certain conditions that each party committed to, and if they in any way violate one of those conditions, then the contract could be void and nulled. But not a covenant. A covenant is a relationship of unconditional love. And that can never be nullified and void. And that doesn't mean that I can get away with murder and I can do whatever I please and God won't, you know, take me to task on that and hold me accountable. But he'll never abandon me.
So this is, again, a theme that is important for us to be reminded about daily. And yet right now we're coming towards the time where we're actually celebrating this holiday. And there's a lot to celebrate. There's the Seder. It's a full week. Plus, there's a lot going on. And I know with every holiday, Rabbi, we've spoken about this in the past, there's certain opportunities that we have, if we really tap into them, that we, in our relationship with God, can really grow in substantial ways. What would you say for this holiday of Pesach are the opportunities we should be mindful of, or any kinds of themes specifically in the holiday that can really help us develop that deeper relationship with this loving God?
Well, you know, going back to that introductory statement where God says, I am the God who took you out of Egypt, why would that be an introduction to these laws? You know, I was, I met a fellow who was not Jewish. And he said, the difference between you and me is I believe in a God of love. You Jews believe in a God of law. And I said, actually, it's true. I do believe in a God of law, but I believe that God is a God of love. And that's why he gave me law. It's just like a parent, you know, gives directions to their kids and consequences to their behavior because they love their kids. And so the introduction of giving the Torah at Sinai is to understand these rules are coming from a God that loves you, not a God that wants to rule over you, but a God that wants to empower you to rule over yourself and rise to your best version of yourself. And I think, you know, that's what this holiday is to remind us of, is that connection, and that God is here to coach us to reaching our greatest potential.
So in a certain sense, even though this is something you're supposed to be mindful of on a regular basis, hopefully, but it's really like a deep dive into really delving into this relationship with God. And again, really delving into understanding. And I was thinking about that when you're talking about the coach, there's a big difference between feeling like you're just being burdened with more tasks, as opposed to recognizing that there's someone behind those the tasks that you have, which is really to bring out your greatest growth. And I think a coach is a great example, because sometimes what coaches put people through can seem very challenging. And yet I think there's a recognition that it's coming from a place that this is to bring out your greatest potential.
Right. My son was in a coaching program, and they showed him a clip of a movie. And this clip was a football coach, and he took one of his players and he had him crawl with this incredibly heavy weight on his back across the field as he walked next to him, screaming at him, "Keep going, keep going." And the guy is like literally in excruciating pain. But he doesn't believe and think that his coach is torturing him, but his coach is training him to greatness. And so even though one who watches this would think, my gosh, this man is evil, he hates this person, he's torturing him, he actually loves this his player and is turning him into a star.
What a powerful, I mean, it's an analogy, there's truth to that. But really, I think that makes all the difference. And this is where we go back to what you're saying is God is a loving God. And when, even if we're going through hardship, if I'm coming from a perspective of God is a loving God and involved in my life, then I'm potentially responding to that hardship in a very different kind of way than just thinking of God created the world, but he's not involved in my life. And I'm going through this for maybe no reason whatsoever. It's a totally different experience of going through whatever we're going to go through in life.
Right. I heard this one rabbi say in many conversations he has with atheists, their attitude is, you know what, whether there's a God or not, it's irreverent. It's irrelevant. You know, so the question doesn't interest me if there is a God or not, because even if there is a God, it's completely irrelevant. Well, that's because if you think that God is some stoic creator who snapped his fingers and put you on this planet, but is not involved in your life and is not constantly caring and coaching you to your greatness, well, then, yeah, God is irrelevant. But if you understand that God is like a loving father or a loving mother or a committed coach who is there to help you reach your highest potential, your greatest version of yourself, well, then God is really relevant. And, you know, and you know, the way we celebrate this freedom of Passover is we tell a story. And that's because the ultimate key to freedom is the story you tell yourself and the story you tell other people. If you tell yourself the story that I'm just an accident that exploded billions of years ago, well, how's that going to make you feel? And how's that going to guide you in your daily life? And how will that inspire you to go get through difficult times? Or if you tell yourself the story that there's a creator and he created the world but has no interest in it and abandoned it, well, how's that story going to make you feel? And how that story going to get you through the tough times? You know, the ultimate story is up to you to tell yourself and to tell others that story. And so the key to freedom is to tell ourselves that story that God unconditionally, you know, saved us from Egypt, even though the angels were, the oral tradition says the angels were against this and saying, what difference are the Jews from the Egyptians? There is no difference. They're both idolaters. But the difference is I have a covenant with the Jews. The Jews have entered into a covenant with me, and we have a mutual relationship of unconditional love.
That's such an important reminder, because I think so often we can look at the situations we're going through, and sometimes I think the question can still come up today, is God with us, especially when challenging, painful things happen? And this is an important, important reminder that God is with us and that there's a covenant that will not be broken, and that it's not even a matter of that we have to be worthy of it. When that's, I think we've once spoken before about the idea of love, is that sometimes the greatest love is shown when a person may not see, you don't have to earn it, so to speak, or it's not that there's conditions for that love. It's beyond the conditions.
Yeah, there's a story about a king who asks his assistant to prove to him there's a God. And the assistant said, the Jewish people is the proof of God. When you look at Jewish history, it is absolutely ridiculous, absurd, and impossible that we're still around. We're not simply still around surviving. We're still around and we're thriving. And yet, yes, it's true in every generation, there's another nation that comes up and rises up to put us down and to wipe us out. And yet somehow here we are. And I think if we look at history, we see a absolute shining manifestation of the power of covenant, that God is committed to take care of ourselves, and we committed, so to speak, to be his people and be a light into the world.
Wow. Within the track of Passover and the celebration of it, and what I'm trying to understand, it's a whole new way of trying to think about this holiday for me. How does it fit in the whole concept of the matzah? I'm thinking about, there's like certain themes that are, that the even the food that we eat is different. And this concept of chametz, and we're cleaning things out and we're preparing. How does it all fit into the concept of redemption in Exodus?
Well, you know, one of the ideas that is mentioned in the story in the Haggadah that we recite on Passover night, it says that God personally took us out, not an angel. And why did God have to personally take us out, not an angel? Because to take us out of Egypt meant that God had to break the rules. First of all, Egypt was such a high security prison that nobody ever escaped from Egypt. So that already was a physical impossibility that was overcome miraculously. But more than that, there was a spiritual problem, because from the justice point of view, the Jewish people did not deserve to get out. And so God broke all the rules spiritually, physically, to take us out. We're leaving Egypt, and we have just a little bit amount of time. We have to get out of there fast, because we were slipping into a darkness that could be a place of no return. And so eating the matzah reminds us that we left Egypt, which is really a miracle. I mean, you know how long, you know, take, you know, you have to make the matzah within, you know, a few minutes. And the Jewish people left Egypt in this incredibly ridiculous, record-breaking time. You know how long it takes me to get my family out of my house and into the car? It could take me a week. You know what I mean? To take an entire people out of Egypt. So that bread is really wonder bread. You know, matzah is the wonder bread. It's the miracle matzah that reminds us that before dough would even rise, we were able to rise out of the darkness and the oppression of Egypt to a place of freedom. And so that matzah reminds us of that kind of record time, breaking borders, breaking rules, and getting out, even though it was impossible spiritually and physically.
You know, it's so powerful about what you're sharing, because there's ideas that are sort of theoretical or philosophical. You know, God created the rules. God could break the rules. And God's love for us, he broke his own rules in order to take us out. So that's an idea and a concept. But when that concept's put into matzah, and during this time where we're really, again, taking a deep dive into these concepts, not just to be in our minds, but you're eating it, you're ingesting it. That the symbolism of the idea in that matzah is supposed to become a part of you for that whole week by eating it. And I'm just thinking that takes it to a whole new level of just taking this idea as a concept and then completely integrating it into the self.
Right. In fact, the Zohar calls matzah the bread of faith. And actually, this is a bread that embodies faith in a God who is almighty and all able and omnipotent, and is not in any way confined to any rules, because he makes the rules and he can break the rules in the name of love to save his children.
That's very powerful, the idea of calling this the bread of faith. And I think I want to try to integrate that more, because especially the way that you're explaining about what the matzah represents, it really is the bread of faith. And I like the fact in that sense that, yes, I miss, you know, I can handle not eating bread for a week, but I think we always enjoy it afterwards. But it's basic. It's simple. It's like down to the basic ingredients. And I think so often we get sort of lost in, you know, again, God has given us so much bounty, but I think there's times in life we have to just go back to the bare basics. And even in our minds, bare basics is God loves us. God redeemed us. God will redeem us again. And sometimes I think things get very complicated, but I'm realizing the holiday of Passover is a time where we almost simplify certain things to remind us about the basic tenets of our faith.
Beautiful. Exactly.
Well, this is definitely very powerful, and I really want to thank you, Rabbi, because I'm going to be going into the holiday of Pesach having a new understanding, a deepened understanding, a more significant understanding, a more integrated understanding, especially eating that matzah, really taking ideas and recognizing the opportunity during this holiday to integrate them. And I really hope that, and want to bless all of you who are with us, that this will really give us the integration of the idea of what it really means to have faith and love of God into your entire upcoming year. I want to thank you for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.